Hello, I'm Curtis Bowers, and this is Agenda Weekly. Thank you so much for joining me again this week. I really appreciate it. I've had a very hectic week with taxes due for businesses and moving my office. As you can tell, I haven't finished it yet, but had to move to a different room, and so just setting all that up. But anyway, a lot going on. Hope things are going well for you wherever you are. And I appreciate you all very much being there, especially the subscribers that help support what we do. And this week, we're going to do another episode of Answering Your Questions. We get so many of those, and I'm so sorry that we can't answer all of them, but I'll get through as many as I can today. A lot of different interesting topics that probably are questions you would like to know the answer to. Those watching on Rumble, please like and follow. That helps us a lot. And when one of the episodes is something you think that's really important, please consider sharing that with others so they'll get to know about our channel and it'll keep growing from there. But thank you for joining me today. A couple quick things to cover before I get into your questions. Just some current event things that are going on right now with the Republicans in Congress and debating tax increases on the wealthy and on the businesses. And I just wanted to remind you one more time, a lot of people don't seem to get this, but when you tax corporations, it sounds good. And we're all like, yeah, we're against those big corporations, but it doesn't do anything except raise prices on us, the average person. I think corporations should probably have zero income tax, but then you tax the money as soon as it leaves the corporation and goes into anybody's pocket, the owners of the business, the stockholders, and then you can tax that like you should. But taxing Walmart or Amazon just causes them to raise their prices more, and then they pass that additional tax on to us. So then it doesn't do anything. It doesn't get the big corporations. Yes, I don't like a lot of the big corporations either. And if Congress was wanting to do something to help us, they should enforce some of the antitrust laws and things of these huge corporations creating monopolies and then ripping us off because there's no competition. That would be a blessing. But just socking them with a little higher taxes doesn't do anything except increase our tax burden. It's also such a clever scapegoat when they say we want to get the rich. When they say that, who they're getting is the middle class. The people in America that are working the hardest and producing the most. It's not getting the upper class, the Rockefellers and families like that, because they have their money all hidden in nonprofits and foundations and things like that. So that's why they don't pay any tax. But the reality is this, when they talk about these huge tax increases that are going to produce all this extra money, it's just not true. Here's a fact I brought up about a year or two ago, but I wanted to bring it up again. In the entire world, there are 2,700 billionaires. That's all the billionaires in the world. And all of their wealth together, if you put it into one heap, all their businesses, properties, everything they have, if you added all that up, it's $16 trillion. Which is just enough if you confiscated all of that. So you don't just tax a little portion of that. You take it all. Say, no, you're slaves now. We're taking everything that you own. And you took that from them. It only run just the United States of America for about 18 months or so. So you know when they say sock it to the rich, that's not what they're talking about. If they're talking about there's going to be a lot more money coming into the federal government. Because again, if you did 100% of every rich person in the entire world and took everything they had, it doesn't do much at all. So it's the middle class like it always is, but they can't sell that very easy. So they pass on the lie. No, we're just going to sock it to the super rich, which of course they don't, because those are the people that donate to their campaigns. Also, as we had David McIlvaney on again last week, I was going back through the Great Taking documentary that we had on a month or two ago, and it is sobering that if they're able to have a big collapse written into the agreements that you sign when you open an account at your bank, they can confiscate all your money in the bank, even the $250,000 that are insured. There's a little clause in there. In crises, they can take your money. But also your stock ownership, if you own any kind of stocks or things like that, those could all be confiscated because they're being held as collateral for the big businesses and the big stock brokerage houses that have that on their ledger, even though they sold it to you. And we talked about that a couple months ago, but that sobered me. It's something we can't forget too quickly because it's true. If they can do the big collapse at just the right moment, we'll own nothing and be really happy. I mean, that's how they're going to accomplish something like that. So we can't just throw that to the wayside and move on to the next thing. They attack us on 1,000 fronts with 1,000 things for that very reason. We don't have long enough to even focus on it for just a moment, then on to the next crisis. But that is sobering, and that's why you want to think about having assets and things that are outside of the big stock market system, the big banking system, and things like that. Now on to your questions. Tanya said, on one of the weekly videos, Curtis listed, I believe, 10 states that would be better to live in or move to. Can you send those states he mentioned? I have the video link below for that video. It's on our Rumble page. I reposted it just a month or so ago on there, but I'll put the link below so you can watch that. I did that about 2 years ago, so probably after the 2024 election, when we get another barometer of the country by the election results, which is helpful. Even if it's been messed with some, it gives us at least an idea of how people are thinking in different areas of the country. I'll try to redo that then and go through a new 10 top states to consider moving to. And after this election, based on how it goes, more of you might want to consider that. If we find out, okay, we don't have free and fair elections for sure now, then that might be a wise thing to do. Cindy says, hi there. A few weeks ago, Curtis mentioned someone sending him a small piece of gold like a paper clip. I don't think he was referring to a gold back. Can you elaborate? Thanks much, Cindy. Yes, it was a gold back. It was actually the things I held up, these little pieces of like paper, but that have put in the back of them, like embroidered into it, the actual amount of gold for these. I wasn't necessarily recommending these, but I was just talking about how people are coming up with creative solutions to the problems we face, and that's always encouraging. I checked on the website for these, and they're kind of expensive if you're just basing them on the price of gold. And so I, again, not recommending them, but I'd rather have physical silver or gold. But this is a great idea if we could get something like this that was very close to the actual spot price of gold. That would be wonderful. A few of you mentioned the World War III is coming video I posted, and I post a lot of things that I think are interesting. I'm not sure if everything in it is exactly accurate or not, but I look at it as it's food for thought. I know I don't know everything, and sometimes when people are talking about stuff, and I can tell they have a lot of facts, but some of their facts I'm not sure about, I post those anyway. So I always want you to have discernment and not just buy in everything that I post, because some of them, it just gets your mind thinking differently by watching them. But there is a difference when someone is saying something that's inaccurate because they're naive, they just didn't know the alternative, and when someone is saying something inaccurate purposefully. I would never post one of those intentionally. I only post ones where I feel like the person is sincere. I've analyzed a lot of their information and I know that is accurate. And then they're saying some things I haven't heard before, but I want to listen to just in case I'm missing a piece of the puzzle or whatever. But anyway, a couple of you said, I'm not sure if everything he said was true. It might not be. And he didn't like Trump at all. He thought he was part of the cabal. And I don't believe that is true. But anyway, I do that. I'm always careful to do that. And I try to put a little warning, like, just listen to this. But I don't know if I agree with every word that they say. Mark and Kim sent a video link to an interview where Eric Steckelbeck interviews Nick Fujisic. I'm not sure if that's how you pronounce his last name. He's the guy that was born with no arms and legs. And it's one of the videos below this week. Thank you, Mark and Kim, for sending that. Watch the whole thing all the way to the end. He talks about political things at the beginning. You may or may not agree with everything he says, but then he slowly gets into his testimony and into just some of the amazing things he's doing. And he's a sweet, wonderful man. I know you'll agree with me on that. But thank you for sending that. They also went on and talked about, on another note, we have a prayer request for our son, Luke. He is seeking the things of this vain world, and we are crushed. I'm so sorry to hear that. And I know many of you, because I've gotten other emails too, have that situation going on. And it is heartbreaking when you bring someone up in the way they should go, and then you see them wandering off down a road that you know ends in destruction, and they won't listen to you, and they won't believe you when you tell them, no, the bridge is out. And my heart goes out to you all, and we all need to pray for Luke. But also, as you're praying for Luke, pray for all the other young people you know like that, that have drifted out into the world because they believe the lies. And it breaks my heart. And you said down a little bit further, he really loves music. And you didn't say he was into bad music, but music is so, so deadly. We have to be so careful. The right kind of music is so uplifting and so beautiful and wonderful. But that rock and roll and the rap music and those things, they're designed for one reason: to create rebellion, to pull kids out into the world so Satan can destroy them. And that's the only point of it. I had a struggle with that when I was younger, where that music for a while pulled me in the wrong direction. And it breaks my heart that I was such a fool to not listen and to have to learn the hard way on several things. But anyway, we'll keep Luke in our prayers, and all the other kids out there that have been lied to, and they won't realize they've been lied to until they get bit, and then they realize, ow, something's wrong. And we'll pray that happens as soon as possible, and they turn back, repent at the cross, and say, God, I'm sorry for not believing what my parents taught me is true. Liz said, I wanted to mention that perhaps your subscribers do not realize that they can give a gift subscription to a family or friend. It is something I did, and it has really worked out nicely. Thank you, Liz, for promoting what we're doing. I appreciate that. And all of you, there are gift subscriptions. If you'd like to do that, you know, someone like-minded that we might really appreciate what we're doing, if you wanted to do that for a birthday present or something, that would be great. But then she goes on and talks about a book she was reading. It's called The Book of Lost and Found, and it was written around World War II. But she quotes a little section from it right here, and it sounds so much like today. Someone reflecting on World War II and all the atrocities that happened, and how at the time they just thought, it couldn't really happen here, but just listen. It must sound as though we were very naive, that we had no idea of what was around the corner. We understood that the machinery was in motion, that something was coming, even if we didn't know exactly what. It's kind of like right now. We know something is coming, but we don't know exactly what. So we're prone to think, maybe it's not actually coming. And then it goes on. And yet knowing in some interior, clever part of yourself isn't the same as acknowledging it. It's a sort of arrogance, I suppose, not believing that it's going to affect you. We could talk about the possibility of war, but we didn't actually think it would come to us, because when the war is somewhere else, however much you might try to prepare for its arrival, it isn't real. So true. Black Swan, World War III, different things. In America especially, it seems so, like, that's crazy. Sometimes I think about some of the things I talk about on here and go, have I lost my mind? Because I'll walk outside and it's so beautiful. I live in a peaceful little town. But then I go, no, I haven't. The facts show this is what is coming. The storm clouds off on the horizon mean a storm is approaching. We just don't know when and what type of storm it will be. And then the last thing is this. Until it happens to you, you have no way of understanding it, let alone imagining it. Until then, it's simply a monster under the bed. And that's what I think it is for so many Americans. It's just this, come on, that nothing could ever happen to America. This is the greatest country in the history of the world. And so we're prone to do that, but we can't allow that confidence in just a memory, make us not act in the way we should to prepare for what's coming. Ryan says, we find ourselves desiring to move to the country and working towards a simple, quiet, and sustainable way of life. That's good, Ryan. I'm glad you are. With a looming economic crash and probably transition to CBDCs, do you think it's wise for people to try to hold on to rental properties as hard assets throughout the attempted Great Reset? Or would it be smarter to try to sell rental properties before the market crash and destruction of the dollar? I appreciate any advice and thank you again for all you do. And I'm not a financial advisor, as you know, but I always have to say that nowadays. I would just judge the area. I think having money in physical properties and physical things is a good idea in general. Now, if it's in an area that's just booming right now, you can tell it's due for a 2008 crash, then it might be wise to sell that. And then maybe wherever you homestead, find a little home in a town close by there so you can upkeep it. You can keep an eye on things and get one there to rent out and maybe do something like that. But that's my advice. I just think that's not a bad idea in general, but if you're in a market that's hyperinflated, then it might be good to get out now while you can and then find a good deal on something closer to where you are, because you said this was not even in the same state that you live. So that's kind of tough to manage that. Mary says, I am writing to ask you if you could perhaps dedicate a weekly show to inform us about how much our CIA has done in the past. And I'll do that, Mary, at some point here soon. I'll try to have an episode on the CIA. I'm going to show you a clip just this week I watched out of a documentary on the CIA right now, since you ask about it. Just a short clip, but to show their purposes weren't anything to do with what we were told they were about. And here's what they're all about.
It's my view, and it's supportable by all the evidence we see in the Church Committee report, the Pike Committee report. The CIA is not an intelligence agency, it's a covert action agency. Covert action being overthrowing or supporting foreign governments. Another part of covert action is disinformation. And the American people, in my estimation, are the primary target audience of the agency's disinformation operation. And I view Vietnam, the entire Vietnam War, was brought to us, sold to us, by agency disinformation operations. I mean the American people.
I want to use the words of one of the people who didn't make it. His name is Gary Webb.
Please welcome Mr. Gary Webb to the show.
So for people who don't know, Gary Webb was the journalist. He wrote about the CIA bringing crack cocaine into the US.
It was an outrageous story. I mean, I admit it, but it was true.
He was at first celebrated, won the Pulitzer, so on and so on, and then the CIA began to leak behind the scenes to the Washington Post. He ended up being stripped of everything and then finally dying. I don't know anyone who can shoot themselves twice in the head. However, officially, that's suicide is his form of death. But before he died, he wrote these words. I was winning awards, getting raises, lecturing college classes, appearing on TV shows, and judging journalism contests. And then I wrote some stories that made me realize how sadly misplaced my bliss had been. The reason I'd enjoyed such smooth sailing for so long hadn't been as I'd assumed, because I was careful and diligent and good at my job. The truth was that in all those years, I hadn't written anything important enough to suppress.
Anyway, I just watched that this week, so I thought, oh, I'm going to put that on there for Mary. But also, Mary, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who is a sharp man, he doesn't just throw things out and say whatever he's thinking. He studies. You can tell that when you listen to his talks and things. But he said the CIA has removed governments from power, at least 83 of them. So, I mean, they're rotten to the core and always have been, but I'll try to do an episode in the future here on them and get into a lot more details. Rob said this, and it's kind of interesting with the great taking information and stuff, if this has something to do with that or not. The situation is this. My wife and I are nearing 70 and are still working and drawing on our Social Security. We recently purchased a 2021 vehicle and paid for it with cash. When we received the title in the mail, the cover letter wanted us to return a signed copy of the vehicle title. The letter stated that it was federal and state law that the dealership retain a signed copy of the title. My wife works at a bank and asked the loan officer if he had heard of such a thing. He said no. I was hoping you could give us some insight to this situation. I look forward to each week to your updates and information. Well, thank you, Rob. I don't know on that. I'm sorry, I don't have an answer for you. But it sounds like what the Great Taking documentary talked about, where the car dealerships, they keep the titles to all those vehicles, and then they can get loans based on those, even though they've already sold them. So it's something, I don't know enough about to give you a straight answer, but it concerns me when a bank loan officer doesn't know anything about that. I would go, whoa, that something's going on here. I would dig in deeper before I sign that and send it in. I'd say, I want proof that federal and state laws say I have to do this or something like that. This next one is from a lady named Joyce, and she lives in Idaho, and it's a family we knew when we lived out there. And she says, we are watching so many changes in Idaho and aren't sure how much longer we can live here. We have explored Arkansas and like what we research. Anyways, we're praying for a change. Idaho is still pretty free, but it is darker because there's very little Christian influence there. The whole Pacific Northwest of America, a lot of people don't know this, but I used to live there. Our pastor would talk about it. It's the only part of America that's never had a revival. It's a hugely Mormon section of the country, and then just a lot of agnostic type people. A lot of them are good people that have common sense and hardworking, but they're not tied into the truth. But Idaho has changed so dramatically. Every time I go out there to visit somebody, I see that. I'm like, oh my goodness. When we first moved there back in the 90s, it was like Mayberry. It was like you were stepping back into the 1980s, about 20 years before, and it was so wonderful. But yeah, it's really sad to see, especially a state like that that's so known for its freedoms, but the center of power there in the Boise area has become radicalized, and it's very sad. But it's nice to hear from you all. Teresa says, are there any resources to help motivate a 20-year-old to get up and get a job and take responsibility? Thank you. Oh boy, that's a big problem. A few questions for any of you to answer if you have this kind of situation going on at home with your own children or children that you know. Who's paying his bills? I would ask the first thing, Teresa. If you all are still paying all the bills for him, you might need to say, you know, sorry, you're out of school now. You need to start paying a portion of our expenses each month because you're a contributing member of this family. What are his interests? The way the school system is today so kind of grinds out the interests of young people. By the time they graduate, instead of wanting to do 1,000 different things, they're dumbed down to, I don't want to do anything except play video games or whatever. It's sad and pathetic, but dig in and find out what are his interests. You need to go find out something. Yeah, I'm kind of interested in flying an airplane. Okay, great. How are we going to work towards you being able to do that? You know, the Bible says where there is no vision, the people perish. And so some of his problem might be just discouraged, overwhelmed, can't figure out where I even start. It might need a little help in getting that direction to find something to pursue. But he also, you need to help him cut the dead wood in his life. And what I mean by that is, you know, just the friends, the music, the movies, the technology, the things that are sucking up his time where he's content to sit and do nothing. If he didn't have those, most people aren't happy to just sit in a room all day not doing anything. They're finally going to get up and go do something. But we have so many things that are vying for our time that are non-productive, and they just suck the life out of us, that if he's involved in enough of those things, then yeah, there's no energy left over to actually go fill out an application or to sit down for an hour and write out all the things you're interested in and then all the things you're good at, and then see where, if there's any things that line up there, and then all the opportunities you have. Do you know someone that runs a business? Do you know, have a connection in some way? Usually, if you list out those three things, the things you're interested in, the things you're right now good at and enjoy, and then the opportunities you have, you start to see, oh, I think this might be a good opportunity. Maybe for 1 year I could work for this man at church that's a builder and just learn a lot of that and see if maybe I'd want to become a builder or whatever, or electrician or a plumber or whatever. Welfare destroys incentive. So if he's not paying something, that makes you lazy. And then you need to, you know, pry the interest out of him and then help him get a plan to make that become a reality. But it's epidemic in our country today because of the system and the technologies of entertainment that are just sucking up all their life's energy and they don't have time for anything else. Janet said, our family was cleaning out our parents' home and they found a set of old encyclopedias from the 40s or 50s, which I think is really neat. She goes, do you think anyone will have use for them or a homeschooling co-op or something? Yes, I think it's vital if you know a homeschooling co-op in your area or a homeschooling family to have those books and to go through them. It's so important to go through physical books, not just stare at a computer screen all day. And some of the interesting things, I think if you went through those books, you would see so clearly how much America has changed. Because even those written in the 40s and 50s probably still have a little liberal twist to things. But we'd look at them today and go, oh my goodness, they're hardcore conservatives compared to where we are today. But yeah, don't throw those out. Try to find someone. I'd love them. If I lived close to you, I'd come pick them up and go through them because you would see how did they define things back then? How did they talk about different historical events? So many things, and it's so much closer to some of that history. That would be very interesting to look at. Dean said, just wanted to drop a quick note to say thank you and good job. And then he goes on to talk about a program he's in. Oh, how we need the local church to work together with the laymen in the church instead of tons of programs that don't deal with discipleship at its core, which is one-on-one and in very small groups, and also how to study the Bible. And so he talks about a group he's in, Ministry in the Marketplace. And I don't know that group specifically, but I went to their webpage and looked at it. And it's encouraging businessmen to use the platform they have and the influence they have of all their contacts to share the gospel and to start discipling people. And I think that's a wonderful idea. If we had some of those things going on at the level they should be, where most Christian businessmen were involved at some level, then our troubles, our problems would start disappearing like you wouldn't believe. So Dean, thank you for sending that. Ministries in the Marketplace. And it sounds like a great program where you're sharing the gospel, but then also then you're discipling them and teaching them the value of studying the Bible. And you can't go wrong with that. If we had more of that going on in our churches, even if the pastors would do that with the congregation, our whole world would change so quickly. C&D from the Aussie land said, Curtis, once again, a most informative speech. When you were talking about John Lennon, you neglected to mention the greatest song projecting our current future. Yes, and I saw what you said, Imagine. Their song Imagine was, yes, it's the anthem for the one world religion, the new world order, everything. And I agree with that. I was just talking about specifically the Marxist influence in the rock and roll culture to create the rebellion and everything. But you're 100% right. It's the song of the future. It will one day be the global anthem under the Antichrist, I bet. Dale says, are the Freemasons and Illuminati the satanic force behind the Marxist? You'll probably run across the 5+ hour video, but if not, it's great to watch and see how the Australian rock star became a believer. And yes, I've watched that video several years ago, watched all 5 hours of it. It was very interesting. It was neat to see that rock star who now was so just committed to Jesus Christ. That was so wonderful. But then he talked about his personal experiences, and I think there's a lot in that. But the bottom line is this: Satan is using every single group he can to accomplish his purposes. So it's not just one group or one thing or whatever, but he had a lot of very interesting stuff in that video. And again, like I said about the other World War III is coming video, I don't know if every single thing he said is 100% true or not. I have no way of validating every little thing, but I could tell he was a sincere person that was not the type of person to just purposely be spreading lies or anything. And so then I take all of it with a grain of salt, but I listen because I realize I might get a piece of the puzzle that I can't prove right now. But when I read something else in the future, something starts to validate that. I'm like, wait a minute, that's what this said too. And that's what this book over here said. And you start to put pieces together where you see, okay, now I do think that is correct because I've gathered all the pieces of the puzzle and I can see it clearly. But yeah, I love that video. And I love most of all the sweet way he talked about Jesus Christ. The power of the gospel is alive and well. It can transform the most vilest creature into a sweet, loving, kind blessing to people. Then Michelle says, found this clip on X from Elon Musk. Tucker Carlson interview with Xi Van Fleet, who lived through Mao's revolution. And we had that below a couple weeks ago. Yes, so powerful. She talks about all the parallels between Mao's cultural revolution that just was death, destruction, and slaughter over there to what is going on today in America and how we have to stand up. I loved it because when Tucker says, is there anything we can do? She goes, yes, we have to. I mean, she's not going to, oh, well, it's just too bad. We're going to lose. I loved her motivation because she's like not going to go through that again. And that's the kind of drive we need where we're like, no, we will not put up with it. We will not tolerate it. She goes on, this interview made it abundantly clear about what you've always warned us about communism. The issue is never the issue. The issue is always the revolution. Absolutely. If it was not for all your hard work, me and many others would not have the faintest idea of what was happening. God has used you, and we here in Australia are eternally grateful to you and your family. We'll be upholding you in prayer daily as you continue to bring truth to our doorsteps. Thank you so much, Michelle, and all of you that email me about that. Thank you so much for praying for me and my family. Please never stop doing that. That's the most single, most valuable thing you could do, the thing that's the greatest blessing. And I love all your sweet notes and letters and things saying that you're doing that. I'm so grateful. God has been too good to me to give me people like you all to be able to talk to every week. But thank you so much. Mike says, Curtis, I'm wondering if you could help me in looking for a good portable solar generator that won't break the bank. Do you have any suggestions? Thank you and God bless. No, I don't. But I wanted to bring it up anyway, Mike. If any of you have found a good solar generator that's quality but a good price, please email us and put in the subject line solar generator, and then I'll try to bring it up in a coming week. Because Mike, I think that is important. I've been seeing commercials pop up for some of those. And I thought that is a really good idea to have one of those if possible. But I don't know which ones are the best ones either. So if any of you, don't just send me ads or anything, only send me information. If you bought one, you've used it, and you know, hey, yeah, it seems really quality, it works well, and it wasn't a fortune to get it. And then I'll bring that up for you, Mike, in coming weeks. But I think that is a great way to be thinking. I had a lot of you email me about episode 170. And the only reason you knew it was 170 because I stated it in the episode and I'd recorded the whole thing and then it was deleted. It was the one called Lessons Learned from the Book of Life. And so many of you have said that was the best. And I'm so thankful. I just shared wisdom and stories from my life. And I'll try to have a part two to that in the coming months, because I've learned so much in my life. Thankfully, God made me a quiet person. So the first 40 years of my life, I sat and watched and observed what was going on around me. Didn't talk much at all. Then God around 40 said, okay, I want you to go start talking. And I'm like, I don't have anything to say. And he's like, oh, yes, you do. You've been watching and listening and learning for a long time. But some of the comments on that, Terry said, as a subscriber for quite some time now, I wanted to take the time to tell you how much I love and appreciate the work you're doing. This week's episode is probably my very favorite. I didn't think that there was anything more important than what you shared in episode 170. And yes, you're right about that. It's the wisdom. Don't ever turn your ear away from being tickled about some new latest group or thing at the cost of not listening to wisdom. Wisdom, sometimes you have to be patient to follow the story to the end or whatever. But at the end, when you get a nugget that you're like, I didn't know that, or that's a really good point, I'm going to remember that, and you put that into the foundation of your life, like the Bible says, it's more precious than rubies. All the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto it. So when God says that about something, we should value it. And of course, my listeners do, because that's the kind of people you are, which I'm so grateful for. But anyway, another lady, Jane, talked about it too. There is a reason that your first edition disappeared on your computer. You know who didn't want this wonderful Christian message out. Wow, it was good. And then she just talked about her own father, who was 97. He died not too long ago and was a World War II veteran. And she told me to enjoy the time with my father, who's 90, and that was at his birthday a couple weeks ago. But I want to remind you of that. I put this one in here because I thought, right now, take time to listen and learn from those you know who are older, maybe at church, maybe in your family. If they're over 80 years of age, you need to be setting time to invite them over to the house and have them tell you some of the things they've learned in their life. Have them over for dinner or go to their house, wherever, and listen and bring a tape recorder so you can record what they say, stories from their life, things they learned the hard way, things they learned the easy way. There's so much there, and yet most of us don't take advantage of that, so we have to learn things the hard way. And then a lot of times we're so prone then not to even remember it from our own mistakes. But Jane, I 100% agree with you. I'm so thankful you had that time you did with your father. And she wishes she would have had more, even though she tried to spend a lot of time with him. The wisdom that comes from living a life, especially if it's a Christian person, is priceless. If you had the choice of, I'll give you $10,000 cash, or I'll let you talk to this man for 5 or 6 hours that was born 95 years ago and have him tell you all the nuggets he learned in his life, I would take the conversation every time. Throw that dumb money out. I don't need it. I want that, because when you have that, you have everything, like the Bible says. Anyway, last one. It's from Scott in Romania, and he is also just friends of our family, but he also talked about that episode. It was the best ever. He goes, I paused the video several times to take notes. I'm so thankful. I'll try to do it again in the future. I've loved studying the book of Proverbs my whole life, and there's so much in there just to go through that and explain and give life examples from there. Could last me for weeks and weeks and weeks and months and years of doing this, and I'll try to do that maybe every so often again, because I love that too. There's nothing funner than to impart wisdom to others because you know the value of it. He said, thank you for encouraging scripture memory every week. Thank you for telling us your family stories. Thank you for your endeavor to train up your children in the way they should go, and even training a couple of my children a bit. Well, I love your children, and I'm thankful that you wrote, and thankful for all you do in Romania. But all of you, I appreciate you. I'm thankful that you're there, and you want to listen, and you want to learn, and you want to understand, and we need to keep doing that. You never reach a point in your life where you know it all. There's always more to learn and to understand and to discern. And I'm trying to do that the best I can for you, and will continue to. And I thank you for your gracious attitudes toward me, because I know I'm not perfect in that, but I appreciate you greatly. Our verse for this week is Proverbs 21:1. And this should encourage you, even in the midst of our cultural collapse and all the things purposely being done by the Biden administration to crush us under the weight of their foolishness. But listen to this verse, Proverbs 21:1. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. God's in total control. If we have a Biden, God allowed Biden to be there, which means he is judging us for what we have done. But the good news about that is, if we repent and if we realize he might be allowing these very circumstances to answer our prayers, where things get bad enough where people turn back to him, then we're like, oh, thank you for allowing Biden to become president. Thank you for all the horrible things he did. because you used those. You turned the river so it went right where you wanted it to go to accomplish your purposes. But there's just great confidence in that. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. He's in total control. And I appreciate you all greatly. And until next week, God bless you.
Welcome to Agenda Weekly. We invite you to join us for an overview of the news from a conservative Christian perspective. You may be familiar with a weekly video podcast from Curtis Bowers, but Agenda Weekly is much more than that. Every Friday, we provide a written summary of the most important news events from America and around the world. We don't just cover the bad news. We find the often overlooked encouraging stories, because we all need some good news. Additional resources include informative videos and articles to dig deeper, a featured hymn of the week, essential prayer points, and specific actions to take personally and in your community. For only $5 a month, less than a cup of coffee, you can subscribe to receive the most comprehensive news source available. Our goal is to save you time, expose the agenda behind the news, and equip you to make an impact right where you are. Subscribe today at agendaweekly.com.